it's not the dentistry. We know how to do the dentistry. It's how to deal with people. And so this is, that would be my first tip, is really working at on yourself. We're all at different levels of how to have these discussions, and then working as a team of how would you want the team to work, you know, to have these conversations mm-hmm. with patients.
This is Growth in Dentistry, a dental intelligence podcast where we ask the question, what does growth in dentistry look like to you? I'm Katie Polson, a dental hygienist and your host.
Welcome. Before we get started, I wanted to invite you to join our Facebook Dental Intel community. Come join like-minded data nerds and enjoy each other's, learn from each other. It's a fun place to be, so come join our community there. Also, if you have a question for our CEO, Weston Lunsford, go to our podcast page at dentalintel.com and record one. He will answer those questions on an upcoming Q&A episode. Now on to our show today. We are talking about burnout. And we're really excited to talk with our special guest about burnout.
Laura Nelson. Laura is from California. She is CEO, leader in charge of front office reps.
Right.
She is all things. If you want to really learn how to create a well-oiled machine, Laura Nelson is a person to go to. So Laura, we're so grateful to have you on with us today talking about burnout.
And today, to do that, I have with me Atiya Black, Director of SMB Sales. Atiya, hello.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Today, I wanted to talk a little bit about, just to kick it off, Atiya was an office manager. I'm a hygienist, and we really know quickly that it doesn't take long for a day to go really, really bad if you have conflict with the patient. And it seems like that's constant. You know, they come in, "Oh, I'm so happy to not be here," right? It's always, "I hate the dentist," right? And then that just starts it off the worst. So what actionable tools can you give to those who are struggling with conflict with their patients?
Well, there's about 42 answers to that.
You're right. We'll dig into it.
Yeah, exactly. I'll just start throwing some stuff out there and we can see where the conversation goes.
Yes, so, let's do it.
I think first, let's take the patient out of it. And let's just talk about the culture of your practice. Let's just talk about what's happening within your four walls, because we put drills and needles in patients' mouths. We can't take away the idea that people aren't going to like coming to us. We don't do fun stuff. We don't serve, fancy food and wine. We put drills and needles in their mouths. So let's take the patient out of it for a minute. Let's just talk about within your four walls, because I think a lot of offices tend to, and it's been a long year, so I'm going to give all this as we get a reboot and a restart, right? Mm-hmm. We tend to blame outside factors, you know, the economy, the recession, the pandemic, there's no good people out there, our patients are all angry, low dental IQ, you name it, we can blame it on something. And the problem is then we build a practice and a culture of blame and pointing fingers and not taking responsibility. And so then that's where I think the team, doctors and team, start to feel like, woe is me, and this is so hard, and the patients are so mean, and they don't like coming here. And yeah, we might not have great patients, which that can be another subject I'm going to talk about. Like, you don't need to be the dentist for every patient. But also, we need to realize that we aren't Disney World. And they don't like coming to us, but the better we can make our culture, the more we can take responsibility, the more we can love where we work, the more we can work on our own internal conflict and get rid of it as much as possible, the better it's going to be, because patients don't know whether you're a good dentist or not. They know how they feel when they're in the office. It's the experience. So if we walk in with a negative attitude, a patient walks in with a negative attitude, the doctor walks in with a negative attitude, it's just going to be a bad day. There's nothing you can do about it. So really, it's kind of taken a step backwards, I think, before you even start talking with the patient to say, well, what do we have going on in our practice? And what did I show up with this morning? You know, what kind of attitude do I have? How do I play a part in this? And then how can we deal with the patient? And what are some of the things that we can do about it?
Yeah, I like that, stepping back, for sure. Definitely.
Absolutely.
Changes your day when you show up with a bad attitude.
Well,
or a good attitude.
I talk about, it's really hard to do, but it's really the reason I think we blame, the reason I think that we not, and I'm not saying we blame our patients, but the reason I think we're like, oh, our patients are so hard to deal with, and insurance and this and that, is because it takes the responsibility off you a little bit. It's a lot harder to stand in the mirror and look at yourself in the mirror and say, what part do I play in this, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. It's a lot easier to put blame on, you know, we're going to talk about, like conflict in the office. It's a lot easier to put blame on somebody else on the team or put the blame on the patient or put the blame on whatever than it is to look in the mirror and say, yeah, I got a bad attitude, right? Mm-hmm. Or yeah, I used to be really good with the patients and now I just treat them like a number. You know, it's a lot harder to do that because that's a lot of internal work and responsibility, but that's really the first step in my mind.
And a lot of people, I mean, it's a harder to see that, you know, unless somebody points that out to you, that mm-hmm. it's hard to see that you're making those mistakes unless they're pointed out to you. Yeah, definitely. So let's gear towards dealing with patients with conflict. I know that as a hygienist, I felt like emotionally it was really, my job was more emotionally taxing than physically taxing. Mm-hmm. For a lot of days. And for some reason I was telling it to you, I don't know why, but every day there was always my most emotionally hard patients always fell on the same day. Yes. But what can we do?
You keep booking them 6 months.
I know.
Because right? you're so good at your reappointment percentage.
I know, right? Or I'll, you know, or the hygienist, you know, everyone has that one patient that they like put on another hygienist and then the next thing pass them off. But
no one does that.
Yeah, I know how they do.
No.
The conflict, what do you do when, what guidelines do some people have that just really struggle with conflict with the patient?
Well, I happen to be doing this year, I'm on tour now that we're back on the road again, talking about having difficult discussions. I think that most of our team members have never been really trained in difficult discussions. And that's really where conflict comes from. You know, most of the time the conflict comes from, at least with patients, is we worry. We spend a lot of time worrying about what if the patient gets upset again? What if the patient doesn't want to do the crown? What if the patient gets upset with me if I tell them it's perio? What if I, and so that's all internal. You haven't even said the words and you're already in conflict in your head. And because we've not been trained, our society and our team members and our doctors for that matter, and our hygienists and assistants, we've not been trained in how to have these difficult discussions. It makes it that much worse. And of course, like I said, the patient's going to react. We put drills and needles in their mouths and they pay us thousands of dollars for something they're never going to see. So they're not going to, you can't tell the patient, okay, so you've been coming in for a prophy and it looks like we need to put you into a perio program. Mm-hmm. And the patient's going to go, oh my gosh, that's so awesome. Like,
yeah, right?
They're not going to do it, right? Right? So as soon as they say, what? You've never told me this before. I don't understand. I've been coming here for 20 years. You're in your head going, yep, see, knew they were going to get upset. Knew they were going to, you know, as soon as they say, what's my insurance going to cover? Yep. It's an insurance discussion. Send it to the team up front. Like it's more of in your head. So one of the things that I would talk about or have offices consider is work on having difficult discussions. They don't have to be as big as we make them in our head. There are tips on how to do it. And again, like I said, I have like 8 topics on my speaker packet. And this is one of the number ones that are getting picked right now because this is the hardest part. It's not the dentistry. We know how to do the dentistry. It's how to deal with people. And so that would be my first tip, is really working on yourself. We're all at different levels of how to have these discussions, and then working as a team of how would you want the team to work, you know, to have these conversations mm-hmm. with patients.
Yeah, we're taking good notes here. Yeah, that is great. Awesome.
Well, and I like that you said you're kind of creating something that as a team, we're collectively sharing the same message across the board, because everybody knows that there's somebody that's a pushover at the front desk and they go to leave and they're like, oh yeah, we'll just send you a bill. That doesn't always work. And that conflict is hard for that team member. And patients tend to figure that out. And so if we just have a parallel message across the board, it does help everybody just stay on the same page and also give our patients something to expect from our office as well.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a real story about my office. And this is a data story. So I'm a data geek too, right? And this is before working with DI. This is back when you guys weren't around and we didn't have data, but I knew how to pull it out of spreadsheets. You know how to take 4 spreadsheets, divide this, multiply that, cross this off. And here's my percentage. Our office is growing at the time, but our perio was not growing in the practice. Our hygiene department wasn't growing at the same rate. And so we knew something was going on with our perio and with our diagnosis or diagnosing. So we took our entire team to a hygiene training seminar because we knew we had something that we need to fix in that area. And what we found out in that area was we had a lot of confusion. We were, all of our dentists and hygienists were diagnosing differently because they came from different schools. The hygienist would diagnose perio and the dentist wouldn't confirm it or diagnose it. They would say, oh, we'll just watch it. So then the hygienist would get questionable about diagnosing it. The patients would push back. So the dentist would say, oh, no, that's okay. The team up front had no idea what perio was. Like, we were trying, but we were like, I don't know, deep cleaning something or another. So a confused mind won't buy anything. And we were more confused than the patient. And then imagine, of course, the patient, and then they're going to get upset with us because we were using different words, different terminology. We weren't on the same page. Even though we acted like we were, we really weren't. And that was a big aha when you look at the numbers to say, wow, our biggest issue was that we weren't in line. So no wonder the patients were questioning us. No wonder the patients were pushing back because we didn't know what we were doing, but we didn't know that until we looked at the numbers, you know?
For sure. Yeah. Your numbers can say a lot about it's incredible. I have been in enough people, enough practices data to really, it doesn't take much to really see the story of what's going on in the practice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Well, in relation to that, with the conflict, I wanted to know we've got conflict on the phone with patients. We have conflict in person and online, and we treat all of that conflict differently, I would imagine. I mean, to some extent. So what advice do you have for people, especially in each of those formats? How do you deal with conflict in those scenarios with patients? In person's probably the scariest, but.
Yeah. Well, I would say there's multiple things there. First of all, you've got to get the education and the training. You've got to train your team. Your team needs to know how to handle. I mean, nowadays people do everything online behind a computer and they don't fess up to what they're saying and they don't know how to handle conflict. You know, they'll accept a meal that's not right and eat it instead of sending it back. So just teaching your team is the first step. The second step, I think, or the second thing is realizing that the patients their experience is their experience. And they don't like coming to the dentist, and they're probably not in their true personality and true.
Sure.
Like, you see a patient in the grocery store and they're so sweet to you and they love you. And then they come in the practice and you're like, oh my God, are you like heckle and jive? What is it?
Jacqueline Hyde.
Jacqueline, there you go. I'm like Jacqueline Hyde, whatever. Right. But like, they come in and you're like, you're not the same lady I see at the grocery on Saturday. Right.
Yeah.
Well, because we put drills and needles in their mouths and they pay us, right? So we know when they walk in our four walls, they're not, because we talk to our patients about two subjects that are very difficult, dentistry and money.
Yes.
Like, that's it. Those two topics. I mean, that's part of the reason I joke about this, but we have Kleenex in our consultation rooms because you tell a patient she needs a root canal and it's going to be $2,000 and she starts to cry and you don't know, is it the root canal or the $2,000? It doesn't matter. Yeah, both. Yeah. Exactly. So recognizing that our patients are they're not being their true selves. They don't like what we're telling them sometimes. It's hard for them. They've got their own stuff going on. You might be the final straw that broke the camel's back today with the news you're telling them, you know? So putting yourselves in your patient's shoes and understanding that and really listening to them. And then finally, just knowing that, you know, it's not, a lot of times people go into conflict thinking it has to be you against me. You know, win, loss, like I have to win, you have to lose. That's not the case with dentistry. With dentistry, it's we both want a solution for you. We both want to help you keep your teeth for life, right? We both want to help you live a longer, better life. So looking at these conversations by putting your arm around the patient and saying, hey, we're your advocate. We're going to help you work through this. We're going to find, you know, like, instead of when we go into a lot of these discussions, I think people think it's like you against me. And that's not the way we should be looking at these discussions.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's a team. It's a team effort for sure. You pointed out before, you have these assumptions, right? Like, you're assuming that they're going to be mad, or you're assuming that they're going to talk about, when you bring this up, you're going to get a certain reaction. But it's their mouth, you know, right? And your job is to just help make it better. And so I love that. Just going based off of those concepts is really good. Do you have the other thing, and that's tricky, is online. And I would like to give some feedback since you said we do live online. We're an online
and yeah, we don't behind the computer.
Yes, we yes, everyone can hide behind the computer and give reviews. So what advice do you give to those offices that struggle with bad reviews or anything like that online? I know that there's different philosophies. What do you think about it?
We could do a whole thing on this one, right?
There's different philosophies.
Mm-hmm. So a couple things. First of all, nobody's got perfect reviews. So, but every one of us, I'll tell you a quick story. I ran a Spartan race this weekend and thank you. And it was,
good
I haven't
job.
Done it in 3 or 4 years. I just turned 50 and I thought, I got to do this. I haven't done it in 3 or 4 years. I say I'm a Spartan racer, but I haven't done it in a couple of years. I just turned 50 and I can be in this age group where I'm the youngest in the age group of 50 to 54. Right. So I should do okay. Right. I went out there. I ran the race. I didn't die. I did 21 obstacles. I did all except for two of them. And you have to do burpees if you miss them, right?
Yeah.
So I did all but two. I ran the race. I got to the end. I had a great weekend. We went to LA. I was just telling you before this, I went to LA. The weekend was perfect. Okay. But then I go online just now to see my results. Now I don't really care about my results. Like I didn't die. I'm alive. I had fun. I raced all of that, but I was 22 out of 28. 50 to 50 year olds. And in my head now, I'm like, I sucked. That was a bad race. I can't believe I was in the bottom third. How do we do that to ourselves?
I know. You know?
So you could have 500 reviews out there and one person says something negative and we all focus on that. So
that's true.
The first step is it's not even realistic to have perfect reviews. If you had all perfect reviews, people wouldn't believe that you would believe you're putting out there. So first of all, let that go.
Yeah.
The second thing is to recognize that we can learn from our reviews. Okay. So we should be looking at the feedback that we're getting. Mm-hmm. And if you aren't getting good reviews, you should be getting good reviews. You know, the majority of your reviews should be good. If not, that again, we have to go back to within our four walls. What are people saying? Are they being felt like they're treated like a number? Are they arguing over their bills with you? They shouldn't be arguing over their bills with you. Can they not get an appointment with you? Like really look at what the reviews are saying and fix the problem, because this is exactly what you need to do. And it's hard to do to go within your four walls, but I'd rather you stop marketing, stop having people put reviews out, fix what's going on, and then ask for reviews, right? And then the third thing I would say is that there's still going to be some patients that sneak in that shouldn't have snuck in. Like they should not have been a patient in your practice. You bent your rules, you got them in. We had one, got her in a Friday night, 5:30. We just stopped seeing patients at 5, but she was in pain. We got her in. She has a blown out mouth. She had a tooth that was causing her all this pain. And we followed up with her 3 times over the next 2 weeks, 3 times, which I do not think that that's unreasonable to try to get her into schedule 3 times over the next 2 weeks, since we stayed late on a Friday. And she put a 1-star review out about us and said the minions wouldn't stop calling her. That's what we were called online. So our team kind of took on that name of minions, right? Okay. So that patient, we all have those patients we should have never seen. That's okay. Let it go. Right. Just if you can fix the problem with them and then get them happy and ask them to maybe take the review down or update their review. Great. There's always a grain of truth in their review. There's always a little grain of truth in there. So look for that grain of truth. What is it that they're saying? Even if they were a pain in the behind, you know, patient you should have never seen, what's that thing you could have fixed? And it might be, and what I find many times is you broke your own rules and snuck that patient in.
Yeah.
You didn't take x-rays and now something happened. And because you didn't take x-rays, they're complaining So part of that truth might be play by your own rules. It's your practice. You have rules, you know, and if these patients are asking you to break the rules, this could be a reminder of why you don't want to do it.
Right. You know, yeah. It always seems like the patients that you feel like you're bending over backwards for are the ones that leave the nastiest reviews. And you're like, we tried so hard. Right. But it's probably because you're doing more than what you would have or should have done.
And for sure. I think you as a practice, you as a team, you as a provider, you know you're breaking your rules. You know, and then as soon as they're like complaining, you're like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You don't even understand what
we went through.
Yeah. So exactly. You don't have to be the dentist for everyone. That's a big lesson there.
Yeah, that is a very big lesson for sure. And to just be okay with, I like that nobody has perfect reviews. We had a company meeting, a company celebration, I guess, last Friday. And we had this barbecue place called Five Star Barbecue come in. And it was so delicious. And me being the marketing person that I am, got on their Google reviews, because I was like, I wonder if they have 5 stars. Well, they had 4.6. So it's even in their name. I love it. It was so good. 5-star barbecue. If you're listening, which you're not, it was delicious. Yeah, but you really only have 4.6 stars.
I saw Joshua Austin speak, who talks about social media and stuff. He's great. Mm-hmm. And he talks about the fact that if you go look up reviews for the Grand Canyon,
yes,
somebody left a 1-star review, and the reason why is it was too big.
Yeah,
there's always something. Like, not everyone's gonna be happy.
From there, I'm like, you can complain about the Grand Canyon.
There is a great, and there's also another great marketing. Just as a side note, there's great marketing billboards done by Ski Utah, or it's just Alta. I can't remember which one. Somebody's probably gonna tell us what it is, but they have their 1-star reviews on the billboard, like, this was too hard or whatever. they turned it into a marketing campaign.
The one at your office, Laura, the minions kept calling, oh, sorry, we followed up with you to make sure you were okay and we could get you back in.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
But I think that's a good thing. Don't let it, I mean, yes, learn from it. Yes, go, okay, sure, we shouldn't have let that person in. Don't respond. Don't get evil. Don't get equal. You know, like, you can't just let it go. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing I would say that just on a side note is, we only focus on the negative reviews, but have you read your good reviews to your team members?
Yeah.
Like, at a team meeting, bring the good reviews out. Cause the people who watch it are probably your office manager, your doctor, your marketing or PR person, but like, your hygienists and assistants don't get to see what people are saying about them. Share the good stuff. And maybe we talk about the bad one and we say, what did we learn from this one? What could we do better next time? But let me tell you about the 10 good ones we got this month.
Yeah.
Share that with your team.
And flushing out the bad with the good will definitely, in my opinion, help with burnout for sure. Because it's hard if only you're hearing or seeing is negative, it's really easy just to decide you're done with whatever job you're doing. If you don't feel great, appreciated. So sure. Yeah. Well, this has been a super great conversation on patients. I could talk about conflict with patients all the time.
Laura's always full of good information.
Yeah, that's good. I have a lot to say.
That's good.
This has been Growth in Dentistry, a Dental Intelligence podcast. Special thanks to our guest, Laura Nelson, again from Front Office Rocks. You can find her at laura@frontofficerocks.com. The links to this show will be in our show notes, or you can find them and other great information at dentalintel.com. Be sure to catch part 2 of this episode that will be released next week. Again, thank you to Tia Black for joining me today and our amazing marketing department for all their help on this episode. I'm Katie Polson. Keep growing.